The scripture this morning is Psalm 66, verses 1 through 9. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you, sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves, Selah. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip?
New Testament scripture this morning is from Galatians 6, 1 through 16. This is Paul writing. My brothers and sisters, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride, for all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh, but if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I'm writing with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even if the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. Tomorrow will be 246 years since the Declaration of Independence from England was unanimously adopted by the Second Continental Congress. 4th of July is a great holiday. Now I might get in trouble with, I don't know, whatever league wants me to protect my speech as an American. I don't think we should be celebrating the 4th of July as much as we celebrate the day that the Constitution was fully ratified. Because that's where all of our nation's freedoms were codified into law. So if that was the case, the last state to ratify the original 13 colonies was Rhode Island, May 29th, 1790. May 29th is really close to my birthday. We could have an extra long holiday, May 29th, Constitution Day, and that's what we should be celebrating. All of our leaders, major leaders, take an oath to the Constitution, and so they have to protect it, preserve and protect and defend it. And I like living in a constitutional form of government. Even the Beatles singing about the Constitution in England. They say, you say you want to change the Constitution? We all want to change your head. That's what they said. Yeah, the Constitution's a good thing. It secures our freedoms. And the First Amendment to the Constitution, I celebrate that from the pulpit all the time. And it means if I don't like my leaders or what they're doing, I can say so. I can even get personal. I could call somebody a dirty bunch of bricks, which was, I think, Annette's mother's favorite insult. They're a dirty bunch of bricks. I can say that, and nobody's going to come by and arrest me for that. Did you just call the president a dirty bunch of bricks, or the governor, or the senator, or the whatever? Did you just call them a dirty bunch of bricks? Let's arrest him. And they wouldn't. They can't. Everybody would defend me. Lawyers would defend me. I wouldn't even spend a minute in jail for that in this country because of free speech, and I love that. I love that. I can also, more importantly, I can tell them when they're way off base. I can speak truth to power. I can tell them, this is what I think God says. You have an idea of what God says, but I've got one that I feel is led by the Spirit. And so I can stand up to them and say that, and you can't arrest me for that. And that's a good thing. Try doing that in other countries like China or Russia, or increasingly Turkey or the Philippines. Increasingly, these are countries that were once freer, and they're losing their freedom. But we can still do it here, and that's something to celebrate, something to brag about. And furthermore, the United States is still the largest economy in the world. And there were rumors years ago that China was going to overtake us, and it hasn't happened yet. In fact, the gross domestic product of the United States is 40% bigger than China's, even now. They got a lot of catching up to do. And then, of course, spreading that over many more people. The standard of living is so much higher here. But having the largest economy, that improves our buying power on the world markets, and it does make things work better here on the world stage. And, of course, as Christians, we have to be mindful of those who don't share in that prosperity, those less fortunate, the least of these. Jesus always wants us to be thinking about that, even as we can brag about the prosperity our country has. Paul was bragging about something in this passage, but not the things we typically brag about. He was not famous for having freedom of speech. He was locked up frequently, spent many, many nights in jail. Sometimes I think about my ministry and the difficulties I've had, and it's just a long yawn compared to Paul's ministry, where he's beaten and chained and put in prison for the things he said. Paul was also not famous for his prosperity. He supported himself by making tents. He was not even famous for his heritage, although he was of a heritage that some people would envy. As he writes in the book of the Philippians, he writes, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. I'm a member of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. And yet, in this letter, as he writes about what he could brag about in large letters that he's writing about, you know, you write in large print if you really want to make a point. He writes that, may I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. In other words, all the things that he could have bragged about himself, all the characteristics he could have used to say, this is why I'm better than you, he doesn't use. All he's got is Jesus. Now, this passage is tricky, and it gets misused by culture. There is a popular proverb that originated with the English, "As you sow, so shall you reap." And we always associate that in English cultures, American cultures. If you work hard, you'll reap the rewards. So people work hard, save their money, and become rich, and they too have something to brag about. That's how this gets used. This passage that Paul wrote has turned into a proverb. And the Bible does not prohibit hard work or saving or money, being thrifty. I'm not trying to preach against those things today. But what a person is working toward is really important. It's not just that you work, it's why you're working and for what purpose. And let's pay attention to this passage closely, because this is where that proverb comes from. Do not be deceived. In other words, there is a possibility that we might be misled here if we're not careful. God is not mocked. In other words, God is in control, and if any of us thinks we're going to pull a fast one on God, it's not going to happen. For you reap whatever you sow. Okay, that's where the proverb originates. You reap whatever you sow, and it has trained into, as you sow, so shall you reap. Is that the same thing? Are those two things the same thing? There's a minor difference, a subtle difference. It's the word whatever. It's not the act of sowing that's important, that's emphasized in this passage. It's not the fact that you're out there planting. It's what you are sowing that matters. Whatever you sow, so shall you reap. So if you sow your own flesh, this is what he writes, if you sow your own flesh, you'll reap corruption from the flesh. If you sow in the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So Paul was not just talking about the virtues of hard work here. He's talking about what you're working towards. Are you working towards things of the flesh, or are you working towards things of the Spirit? If you're working for the flesh, it is corruptible, and it will end when your life ends. If you're working for the Spirit, it is eternal, and it goes on forever and ever. It's what you're working towards. He was fighting a heresy that had worked its way into the Galatian peoples to whom he wrote. They thought that in order to be saved, you had to do physical things, get circumcised, follow the Jewish diet, behave according to Jewish law. And Paul says, well, if that's what you want to sow, those earthly, fleshly, physical behaviors, what you will reap is earthly and fleshly and corruptible, and it will end with your life. All of it decays and ends. He implores the Galatians to instead live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of God. Live by that Spirit, and if you do, you will inherit eternal life in that same Spirit. As I said in the children's sermon, which was not really a children's sermon, plant beets and you will not harvest potatoes. Plant corn and you will not harvest tomatoes. Plant squash and you will not harvest watermelon unless you get a volunteer. Plant physical things and you'll harvest physical things only. And all of those things corrupt and die. Plant spiritual things and you'll harvest the spiritual fruits, which are eternal, love, joy. He lists them there in chapter 5, the previous chapter. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When I was in seminary, the registrar, I would go in to see the registrar quite a bit. What an encouraging woman she is. She's eternal. I know she's passed on, but she was such a wonderful encourager to a seminary student that just assumed he'd flunk out of everything, you know. She kept telling me what a good student I am. I just was like, you talking to me? Really? One day she wasn't in a very chipper mood. She wasn't mean to me, but I could tell she was down, and I said, Priscilla, what's wrong? Her brother had died. And she said, I don't understand. This was supposed to be the happiest year of his life. He's 48 years old. He worked for GM. He went straight to the factory, to a GM plant when he was 18 years old. He just finished his 30 years. 30 years of retirement. And he had a full retirement waiting for him. So he was 48 years old with all that life left to live. And he never got to enjoy more than a few months of it. He just died. It's all over. He worked towards that pension and he had nothing now. It was over. He was dead and gone. And she was sad. And he missed out on that dream retirement that he had worked hard for, thought was his. It was all of that that made it just sadder, besides the fact that she missed her brother. Just the unfairness of it. But you know, and I'm not judging him. I don't know what his spiritual life was like. Certainly if it was anything close to Priscilla's, he's in heaven now. He's fine. But you know, everything he worked for was corruptible. Everything he planned for would decay and die anyway. It happened much earlier than he expected, but it still was going to do that anyway. The spiritual things that he cultivated in life, and I hope there were many. I mean, I'm not saying don't go to work for General Motors or anybody else. Don't get a pension. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying, what are you working toward? Are you working toward that physical outcome, or are you working towards a spiritual one that will last forever? Well, how do I do that? How do I work towards a spiritual outcome if maybe all I'm used to is just working towards the physical? It comes down to a three-letter word, which I said last week. Ask. Ask God. Matthew 7:7, as translated in the New Living Translation, Jesus says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. And in that passage, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. So, if you sow, going back to Paul, if you sow things in the Spirit, you will reap things in the Spirit, which don't decay, don't run out, don't die when you do. The English proverb takes us on a detour, and it's a very consequential one. It leads us away from the Spirit toward the physical. And if you leave that behind and start pursuing things of the Spirit, then you have something to brag about, something that you might write in large letters with your own hand. May I never boast of anything, Paul writes, except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I'm done with fleshly things. I'm living for the Spirit now. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything. All these fleshly ideas that are circulating around the Galatians, it's all false. A new creation is everything. So would you like to become a new creation? There's still time. Would you like to brag about what Jesus did on the cross for your behalf? Ask the Holy Spirit to enter your life, to take control of your life. Because when Jesus died on the cross, you know, we've got all these bells and whistles in this country. We had this wonderful display last week. We've got all these things behind us and going for us. But you know, when everything is said and done, the only thing we really have to brag about are the things that are eternal. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, so that if we put our faith in him, we can be eternal beings. Now that's something to brag about.